Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. We're in the third chapter of the book of Colossians. Paul is instructing the brethren on the truth, the depth, and the spiritualities of their salvation. He is exhorting on the subject of true walk of the Christian life. He's letting the church know, he's speaking to them about how they should walk before God. And he's given this to them. And we find in this third chapter, all the way down to chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul is speaking of the basic, or the motivations of the principles of the Christian life. Paul is saying here, this is what has taken place, and this is what you must do. He began in verse 1 and down to verse 4 of chapter 3, basic motivations and principles of the Christian life. And then in chapter 5 and down to chapter 3, verse 5 to 11, abandoning the vices of the old life. And verse 12 to chapter 4 and verse 6, he deals with cultivating the virtues of the new life. We're in that section, cultivating the virtues of the new life. I want to read from you and follow along as I begin in verse 12 and read down and including verse 17. He begins with verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, and with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving, thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Let us once again ask our God for praise and help to us as we turn to his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. Your blessings given to us. We thank you, O God, as we meet with you on this day. It is for you, our God, to make us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ask now, Lord, as we turn to the scripture, that you by your spirit would help in the preaching and the hearing of the word of God. We ask these mercies in Jesus' blessed name. Now, last Lord's Day, we dealt with verse 12. Here we saw, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And we saw there what the Lord was telling us through the Apostle Paul is that there must be these virtues that we must put on, virtues that each and every one who are in the church of God, saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, things have now been worked in their heart. They've turned away from the basic things that we had and how we treated and mistreated one another. And so now virtues have been given to us. And Paul calls these virtues, and he says there, and he used this very form of words, put on. And as we looked at this, I told you last time, what we have here, Paul already said, put off, taking off everything that was akin to the old man. And that's our old selves before we got saved. How we allowed our flesh to be the very thing that guide us and show us and even carry us into the ways of sin. But Paul said now, you have the new self. In other words, what salvation has done, it has made the flesh weak. It has no more strength over us other than what we allow it to use. But hell, he says we are strong now because we are strong in Christ Jesus. He talks about the new self who we now in Christ Jesus. And that's why he can say, consider the body, verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. He says, now this is what is taking place. A big change has come over the people of God. We sing the songs of how God himself, Christ, was raised from the dead, and he died on our behalf to make us new in Christ Jesus. Paul has given us now some of the very things that we must understand, that the newness that is there. But Paul is also saying we have to do something. We have to live in a certain way that the graces that God has given us will come, as it were, above and flowing out of us and actually affecting everyone that we have contact with. But Paul was concerned here with the brethren in the church. We know we're going to live a certain way with those who are outside of the church, but Paul is concerned with this group in Colossae, this church there now, how they must live and even guide with one another, how they must find themselves reacting and associating and treating one another. So he says, and I pick up in verse 13, he says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord has forgiven you, also you should do the same, is he saying. Bearing with one another, Paul now says here, now here are some things we must do. Most of them say this is the continuation of those virtues that we have. We have those virtues, heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And so now, as we have those virtues, what are we going to do? How do we react with one another? Paul says now, this is what you do. Man in the church to another, your fellow man, sister, brother in the church, to one another, this is what you're going to do. And he starts off with bearing with one another. The word itself means to hold up, to restrain, to endure. And he's saying with one another. So he's saying this, he's indicating here, speaking of people, to bear with them. Have patience with one another. We find that this is the very thing that the Lord Jesus Christ could say. And what he did, there was a place where he was going to, a man had a demon in him, and he came and the disciples tried to do it, but they couldn't do it. So Jesus said to the crowd, even to his disciples in Matthew 7 and 17, you unbelieving and perverted generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Then he says, bring the man here. That's what he's saying. How long shall I bear with you? Jesus was saying all the wickedness and sins that is in this very generation, and some of it is filtered down even to you disciples. How long should I? Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 4, therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God. He's talking about basically how the Thessalonians were living. For you, your preservation and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions, which you endure. All these afflictions are coming against them. But Paul said, you endure them all of it. You bear up under it. In Ephesians 4 and 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Showing tolerance there is the word that has been used by Apostle Paul here in our text. Showing tolerance. So Paul says here, first of all, bearing with one another. Here's something that must be done. This word has the idea of putting up with things we dislike in others. The focus is on the members of the church, the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, those who are connected to you by grace and united with you in the body of Christ. The local church is what he's talking about, bearing with one another. enduring. Paul is saying that the things that must be, would be done and committed by one of us to another one, we must be those who would bear up under it. But he goes on, he says in there, bearing with one another and forgiving each other and forgiving. Not a hard word for us to look at and understand. To forgive means to be gracious and kind is really what he's saying. There's a gracious act that comes with forgiving. Forgiveness is not something that we do, as the scripture says. You say, okay, I forgive you, brother. But yet in our minds, he said, no, I'm going to get you back for that. I'm going to pay you back. No, it is putting it away. Notice, and go ahead, turn your page over to chapter 2 of this book of Colossians, and notice how it's stated for us in verse 13, what has been done by Christ for us. When you, verse 13 in Colossians 2, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all of our transgressions. What does it mean when we know Jesus forgave them? And God forgives also. He has cast those sins away, put them behind his back. They're no longer there to be, come to mind. We don't say we forgive, but the next day we're doing almost the same thing all over again. The basic meaning in the New Testament is to pardon, to graciously forgive a person for his or her sin, to show favor, to be kind. It has the idea of forgiving freely. It's all done, passed away. I'm not going to even bring it up to mind any longer. Bearing. And Ephesians 4 and 32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, that's our word, each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Be kind to one another. You know, at times when someone does us wrong, the heart is down. The heart is kind of aching because the brother or sister treated us that way. And inside, the flesh wants to say, you need to get back at them for doing that. You're going to take that, you know. Well, you say to yourself, after heart of the grace in you, start pumping up more and more. No, forget it, forget it. But you find it comes back up again and again. But we are saying here, what we need to do is really cast it away. Forget about it. That's one place that Peter says, throw a blanket of love over it. Don't let that thing bother you anymore. Do go away with it, knowing that it is no longer there. And this is what we could do in Christ. These two incentives are the proofs of the virtues mentioned in verse 12. Here are, what did Paul say in verse 12? A heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. How do we know those things are there? Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. This is the very thing that happens there. The virtues above will be a display of the acts of restraint, tolerance, patience, and love with those who wrong us or sin against us. And so here's what the apostles are saying. He said, this with these two things you do with each other. And then he goes on and he says, and they're following up with that, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Now he stops there and he says, whoever has a complaint against anyone. First of all, who is to do this? Not those who may, you know, sometimes some sin may come by some brother or sister, you know, okay, do that. But he said, if you have a complaint, whoever, it's going to happen, brother or sister going to do something, whoever has a complaint, when that situation is at hand, what do? Complaint here, the word means to find fault or blame. We know this one has done wrong to us, and it is right they'd have done wrong. This is the only place where the word is used in the New Testament. The word is clearly stating that something has gone wrong with the relationship between brethren. Something has gone wrong. Brotherly fellowship is broken. What should we do? Well, look what Paul says here. He says, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Paul says, look at yourself. Think. Then think of your Savior and what he did for you. Look at each and every one of us. I know we do this sometimes. We look back in our lives where we have come from, what we have done and how we have lived, what sin we have committed before God saved us. And even as we're walking with the Lord, how hard-headed we were on some sins that we said, Lord, take it away. And we found ourselves still back in that sin. But by God's grace, we have moved on from that, you know, so we can see what did God do? Even though he forgave us, and we sinned again, he still forgave us. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should do. How should you treat your brother? Well, think about how you have been treated by God, is what he is saying. Here we have a biblical way of all matters should disagreement and sin should be handled. The last statement in this verse is the biblical incentive of the Christian forgiveness. Any issue that comes up between believers must be dealt with remembering how the Lord has dealt with us. Brethren, if we do that, it'll take away a lot of stuff in our hearts that will make us say, you know, well, no, I'm going to hold on to this for a while. And sometimes you think, well, I have to pray and have God help me take this thing away. No, you don't. What you have to do is just remember what Christ did for you. That's enough. Some of the things in the world, it works that way, doesn't it? When we receive kindness from somebody, we want to return in kindness. What greater kindness can we have from Christ Jesus dying on the cross for us? Give his life for us that we may live and we would be with the Father in all grace and love and mercy for all eternity. This is what he said. So Paul says in this verse, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you also should do the same, is what he's saying. But then in verse 14, he says something else now. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Now, we have come through the passage thus far, and we've seen Paul uses the phrase put off and put on. And I've indicated to you, basically looking to him, some of the commentators say, you know, it's like the old man. And he says the old self and the new self. And so what he's saying here is like you're taking off everything, every horrible garment that belonged to the old man. You're getting rid of it. You're throwing it away. Notice what Paul says in verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed. See, all these things, basically, you're putting those off. And Paul says it this way in verse 8, but now you also put them all aside. And then here are the things that come out of a heart that is now those who are still left in their sins and those of us who have been saved. And Paul says, you got to put these things aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech out of your mouth. And then he goes on, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self. And what Paul is saying here by laying aside, it is the work of God that has done this. The work of the Holy Spirit made us new men in Christ Jesus, new women in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, that old person now is dead. No, it still hangs on. And we're not going to get rid of it until these bodies until we are dead. But they have no more power. They have no more power. They don't rule on us anymore. Paul says, you have laid it aside. You have put off. But then he says, you have put on. And what he's saying here is that now the Spirit of God is the one that lives in us. He is the one that is guiding us, controlling us, teaching us how to live. He's the one that's giving us graces. And so therefore, as we learn these things, Paul is saying now, you put on more and more of the new you. Make those things come. And as we, as it were, put on one garment after another, we are totally and completely moving away from the old man and who we were. Brethren, it's a process that we're going to go through in life, is what he's saying. And he says here, as he told us all these things to put on, in verse 14 he says, beyond all these things, put on love. Put on love. Put on here, the word means, you know, to put on, but it's used in a sense of to put first, to put before. It means power, authority, put you have, or to add something to it. Remember the parable of the talents that Jesus said, and he sent the men out, and he gave one 5 talents and gave another 2 talents. And when they came back, they said, I have gained 5 more talents. The word more is really what we're looking at. More is now what he's saying. I gave me 10, 2, and I gained 2 more. Gave me 5, and I gave 5 more. The King James have gained besides in that very particular text that I'm quoting. In Ephesians 6 and 16, it says, in addition to, that's the way the word is used, in addition to all the flaming arrows of the evil one, King James said, above all the flaming arrows. The idea is beyond everything that was said, in addition to everything here, put on, above all that, put on love. Most of the commentators use a figure of it. They're saying that what Paul is probably doing here and what was understood there, all the graces and all the virtues that we put, if you're putting on, it's like one garment after another. You're putting it on. So, and this is what's happening. This is what's happening in a spiritual sense. You are actually taking one of the graces and you're putting them on. You're taking another grace and you're putting it on also. And so Paul said, this is what the thing you do, put on. He takes us back to the idea of that whole idea, saying now, not only that, now there is another virtue to put on. And this virtue is of love. Yet love is a virtue that is above all of the other virtues. Actually, it is greater than all of the other virtues combined together. That's why Paul can say, beyond all these things, above all these things, more than all these things, heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, put on love. He's saying, here is the greatest thing of all. That is why Paul is speaking of it as a separate article of clothing that must be put on over all the other virtues that have been put on. Some of the commentators say it could be as a belt. As you put on your clothes and what you can hold the thing together, remember the kind of clothes they wear were different from what we wear today. But you had this sash that you tie around. It's coming around everything, bundling, keeping everything together. And some say it could be a cloak that you put on. After you put on certain other pieces, you put this cloak on top. And this is the one that's above everything. And so Paul is saying here, all these other graces that you put on, now put on love. Put on love. And he calls love the perfect bond of unity. It's the bond of perfectness. Perfection is really what he's saying. It is love that unites believers together, moving them as a body towards perfection. Paul is saying that the brethren are tied together by love. And he says in Colossians 2:2 that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. And he's saying this is the real thing. Love is it. Brethren, there is no such thing as being kind in a biblical sense to one another if there is no love. None of these virtues will not work. What we can do, we can try to falsify them. We can try to say, you know what? I'm going to be kind and I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to have humility. But that will come from our minds and our hearts and trying to muster up enough in us to do those things. But Paul is saying here, they have come out of the new man. They're there. And so now he's saying, with all these very virtues you have here, love is the very thing wrapped around all of them, which is going to cause them to freely flow from us, from one man to one to another, one woman to another, to each and every one of us in Christ's church. It's going to flow out of us because love is going to have it packed together. He's saying, a heart of compassion to another brother or sister is easy when you love him or her. Kindness to a brother in the church is easy when you love that one. Humility is easy when you love. You'll be able to say, well, I can forgive because he is my brother. Why? Because I love him. Gentleness can come. Patience can come. I can study long with this one because I love him and her. He and she is my brother and sister in Christ. And so this is what Paul is saying. Now, above all of those, beyond all these things, if it's not love there, you have nothing. And a lot of people are walking and saying that they're Christians and love other believers, but yet they don't have that. Paul calls this the perfect bond of unity. It's that very thing that knits everything together. Paul is giving the picture that love ties everything together, as I'm saying. It's the last and greatest garment upon all. It binds everything together. It completes all that the Christian puts on to complete the display of the new self. Are you new in Christ Jesus? This is Paul is saying. Are you new in Christ Jesus? And then when you look at this very text here, can you say, I know there's some things that have been done wrong against me, even by some brethren in the church, but how have I reacted to those things? Well, the question is, well, have I reacted in a loving way? Or have I acted in a way to say, you know what? I'm going to get you for that. I'm not going to forget that. No, that's not a Christian. That's not a Christian being bound together by love in Christ Jesus. And Paul is working on it. He's saying, here are the virtues. And these are the virtues given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. And he's with us. And he's guiding us. He's teaching us. All these things as we read the scriptures and what we go through. And as we react to one another, the Spirit is there aiding and helping us in this. How should we ask to answer or respond to this brother and sister for what they have done? The Spirit will help us with that. If the first thing comes up is a little bit of hotness in our souls, a little bit of anger in us, we need to get it right with God first and say, no, I can't deal with my brother that way. And we need to do it the right way. You see, this is what Paul is saying. And he says here, now, as you wrap up all these virtues here, love is the main thing. And that gives us application that you and I should look at as we continue on. Paul says here, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. The question was not put to Jesus by Peter. Pressure was put to Jesus by Peter. And he asked him, how much should we give? How often should we forgive somebody? You know, Peter said, you know, because Christ had just gave him a teaching of what he should do. And so the answer was, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. We know what Jesus meant when he said that. There is no end to forgiving your brother for the sins he committed against you. You don't put an end on it. I've forgiven you 5 times yesterday. I'm not going to forgive you at this point. No, you keep on forgiving. Forbearing, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. All kindness in the heart must be the very thing that comes through, that shows and actually, as it were, wrap up our relationship to one another. This teaching teaches us that we must deal with sin. First, each one of us in our own hearts, and then be quick to forgive our brethren if he and when they sin against us. Put all sin away is what he's saying. Get rid of all sin. Paul is saying to those in Colossians, this is what you must do. Here is the way you find yourself progressing in the Christian life. Second application, the incentive given to us here by Paul. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. We should not compare ourselves to a person, anyone on the face of the earth, even someone who's a good Christian. We look at them, and sometimes some younger Christians need to do that. They need to see a model of how one is walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the very end of it, who should be and what should be our incentive? Though I may walk with an elderly Christian who's there showing me the kind of man he is and want to be that kind of man like that, but the incentive is when somebody sins against us, what do? Just as the Lord forgave you. We must remember that what we were like before Jesus saved us. And we must remember what we are like right now. Dear people, when we think about who we were before we got saved, and some of you, I know you think about that and you hate to have that history be brought up again. And even the Apostle Paul, he said the same thing. He said, if you would line up all the sinners, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the one who will lead the parade of sinners going down the street. But Paul knew he was free in Christ Jesus. And you and I must know the same thing. And when we look back and we see what God has forgiven us for and what he's done with us, how can we not forgive our brethren? That's the point. Just as the Lord has forgiven you. But then the third point we saw here is put on love. I would say to you, even as the commentators say, you're putting on the final garment to wrap it around and hold it tight. Yes, there's some reality to it. But I say what you and I need to do, put it on every day. Amen. The last garment is to be considered is the virtue mentioned before in verse 12. The Bible in this next verse says, above all these things, yes, I may look and I may be living with one another. We may be living with one another with hearts of compassion, with kindness, showing humility. We're not quick to jump at our brother when he or she says something that we don't agree with. Compassion, we're kind, we're soft. But he said, but above all this thing, put on love. The new self that will be putting on everything spoken of in this passage, that means that you and I must work at this. We must think about it. Here we are, some husbands and wives here. And you know what we go through. Sometimes someone says something and you're ready to get back. No, think about what he is here. Think about who he or she is. Yes, husband or wife. But above that, she is one connected. He is one connected to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. That relationship is far more better than actually even above the relationship as husband and wife. This will be only for a time. It will be a time while we're on the earth. We're going to be brothers and sisters in Christ for all eternity. Live with one another that way. And Paul's going to go into that also with family relationships here. But this is what we say. Let that be the thing that moves us. Remember, these are spiritual virtues. They are not to be put on by the mind. It is the work of the heart. When I mean the soul, what's inside the heart that has been changed by the gospel. The old self is dead, as is to the power to rule over us. The new self is alive and receives power from the Holy Spirit working in us. Brethren, when we plead and pray to God, help me with this, help me through that, God will answer those prayers. But Paul uses here an idea, put it on. Now, when we get the answer, we don't say, well, okay, I know what I should do. Well, do it. That's what he's saying when he says put on. We know it's not a real garment, but let it be something now that clothes your humanity as a man in Christ, as a woman in Christ. Let that be something that you see. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? Yeah. You know how you can, people, well, we get dressed up in certain occasions, you know, and we come, and somebody looking at you, boy, he sure is sharp. Huh? How about looking at each other and saying, to graces, that is a beautiful sister. That's a beautiful brother. He carries everything of Christ right on him. There was a little word that's used that somebody, you know their heart, and they say they wear their hearts on their sleeve. It's so new. It's right there. You can see them. People shouldn't have to look at Christians and wonder if we are Christian or not. If they have 2 seconds and talking to us or spend time with us, something is different about that man. Something is different about that woman. And it should be what they're put on. That's love. Remember what the apostle says, the old self is dead, meaning that we are no longer controlled by him. Yeah, we have these bodies. These bodies are going to crave for things which are against who we are in Christ Jesus. But we have to, as Paul says, put it off. Put it off. Oh, I want to go do this. I want to go do that. Well, you know, I don't know if I should do that as a Christian. Put it off. If it's going to be anything that's going to feed the body to want more, put it off. But the new self, meaning we are controlled by the Spirit, and we allow that to come and guide me more and more. But this is love. He said, this love is powerful. Love is the very thing. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to show you somehow and what Paul has to say about love. And it fits right in with what he's saying here to the brethren there in Colossae. And he taught me, at chapter 13, he begins by telling the excellency of love. And in the first 3 verses, he talks about, and I'm not going to read that, you know, if you had all these gifts and everything, what you had, basically, he says in the end of verse 3, to be, if you even give your body to be burned, he said, but if you don't have love, it profits nothing. But notice what he says in verse 4 and going down to verse 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. And is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And here's what the brother, what the apostle was saying to us. One way to love, and that's what we should do. We are exhorted to work these virtues in our hearts, especially love. Love which ties all the other virtues together. That's what we ought to do. And we need to pray that God of grace will humble ourselves to the teaching of this passage that we would truly love one another. One of the ways of loving one another, dear brethren, is by praying for each other. We have our new directory in the back. On the back of our directory, we have what we call a prayer guide. We have the congregation actually broken up for days. One day we're praying for this thing and this group of brethren. The next day we're praying for another group of brethren. I hope you're doing that. We got a new directory in the back now. Use this every day. This has been the way of doing this, I don't know how long. Every morning I'm praying. Each day of the week I'm praying for some of you brethren, the ones who falls on that particular day. We should not be spending our time not praying for one another. I tell you, brethren, that fosters love. If we want to love, let's take each other in our hearts and love. May God bless us and may God help us in this manner. Let us pray. Our blessed God in heaven, we thank you for your kindness, for your mercy, Lord, and for your grace given to us, for all that you've taught us from your word. But Lord, even as we walk from this day, we need this truth to be brought to us clearly. We need you to guide us and bless us. We need you to help us, O Lord, that we may walk before you. You know us, O Lord God, through and through. You know how we listen to you right now. You know how we have taken in what we're going to do about it. If we have, as it were, passed on some of what has been said from this text, or if we took it all in with a plan of even giving honor to you and to our brethren throughout the week. So bless us, O God, that all that you've given us will be put into action. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray.